It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid. Why are we not afraid? I tell you why. What happens when you have a big, giant, oh my goodness, earthquake in Asia somewhere? I mean, devastating, 20.6 on the Richter scale, man. It was a nuclear detonation. I mean, just boom, laid down. And are you afraid? And why are you, it really has to have a much greater impact on your personal life. You might find it curious. You might go, wow, man, that really sucks. I'll even text me $10. We'll go help them out. What happens when a meteor hits Australia somewhere? It lays waste to, hundreds of square miles or whatever. Wow, man, that really sucks. A volcano goes off in Iceland and covers Europe in ash. You can't fly. Man, that kind of blows. If you know about it and you understand it and you see it and it's over there, it's of concern. It's good, to know, I guess, but it doesn't really affect you. What if you're able to distance yourself from this stuff that happens in the economy, even though it's down the street, it's next door, it's your family member? What if you're able to take your family, your unit, and be able to just, distance yourself from the effects? Are you afraid then? When you know it's coming, are you afraid then? When you're prepared, are you afraid then? See, this is what we're talking about. You cannot declare your independence if you're dependent. Stop being dependent. Be independent. Be self-sustaining. At least for the time it takes for this to settle, which could be years. Now, it's a Mormon's thing, man. Whole side of my mother's family, Mormon. Sister, Mormon. It's all about, I grew up with this, you get your own flour maker out of wheat, grinder thing. We're canning. You're getting chickens. This is just how I grew up, to where you lose your job. You're a little bit less stressed when you got 3 months of food. So this is, you need to distance yourself from this. You need to unwind. You need to get out. The stock market, it's up like 11,000 again. It could go to 40,000. It doesn't make any difference. It's inflated dollars anyway. It doesn't make any difference. While it's up there, get it. Good. Yeah, go. And I keep telling you, get silver, get silver, get silver. Where are we at on silver right now? Let's take a looky-see. We go to the gold and silver markets, and I have this on my quick links on Freedom's Phoenix, my little personal thing. And where are we at? Silver right now is at 1950. And it was, it looks like it was 1980 earlier today. So where was it just a little while ago? Heck, I remember it wasn't too long ago. I bought more, just a couple months ago. It was what, 15 or something? Just a couple days ago it was a dollar less. This is getting stupid. Silver, where are we at? 1233? What's the new base now? 1200? It's not like it's going to happen. It's happening right, not later. How prepared are you? What do? Get food. We have to survive this thing. Just survive. Got a tent? Seriously. Whew. We'll talk about more when we come back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Well, we're going to survive it with a smile on our face. You know, we have these long conversations with our children or families. We had another one last night. And I said, you know, we keep extending our family. We start having grandkids. We have, you know, additional spouses, daughter and son-in-laws. And we get along fine. You know, you got, you know, family dynamics. But, you know, you start getting your mid-20s. You got to let it go, man. It doesn't matter what happened when your brother pulled your hair and, you know, gave you a swishy at 10 years old. I mean, you know, it's just stop, man. Just let it go. So we got to start thinking like adults. I tell the kids, I go, look, man, this is real world, you know, history book stuff. We got to make sure that we survive this thing. And if we understand it and we can separate ourselves from it, you know, that's not going to make it any less for a lot of people that don't. And then you got to, I mean, what are the guns for? You know, the guns for, you know, defending yourself against an F-16 or something? Yeah, probably not. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, just keeping your stuff so you can survive, because you got a lot of people out there, they're not as nice. When they're hungry, you know, what are they going to be doing? You know, banging on the state legislature door? No. It's already started in Mexico. I have some friends that have a home that a vacation home in Rocky Point on the beach there. It's a beautiful home. They got it for almost nothing in a very expensive area. It's really run down. Everything spent a lot of money on it. And they rented out for, it's like $600 a day. Well, it used to. I mean, you know, but now they're going, look, they're at half price. They can't sell them. They can't lease them out. And they were down there for a church retreat one time. Some other friends that had another home down there. And he said he left. You know, he's one of the last ones to leave about 9 o'clock. Soon as they had left, two guys with ski masks ran up to the door and busted it in, came in, gunpoint, robbed them of everything. They're fortunate that they didn't hurt them. Well, this is, you know, it started. They used to think they were safe down there in a closed gated community and so on. This is going to start happening everywhere. So they don't feel safe down there anymore. You know, Mexico is going into big trouble. This drug war thing is going to, that's another thing. Drug war, it's going to go away. You know what we have in Afghanistan? We have a bunch of the poppy growers, right? I've got a story on the front page right now. A bunch of the poppy growers in Afghanistan, all their plants start wilting. They're complaining that the United Kingdom and the USA are defoliating. You know, they're taking out their crops. Well, guess what? I guarantee you they're not taking out the crops of their boys. They're just keeping prices up. You know, this is just, oh, it's so bad. So I want Jack to tell us, look, man, you know, you can continue on with the bad news, but what should we be doing? What have you done?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Ernie. You know, I've got my eldest daughter. She's in college. She's a brilliant student. She was a brilliant student in high school. She wants to be a high school or middle school math teacher. She's brilliant in math, but she has a problem with funding her education. And she's made it through the first 2.5 years, but now it's going to get really tough because, you know, the tuition's going up and she doesn't want to go into debt. So, you know, Dad has been talking to her, and I convinced her yesterday, get your money out of your bank account and put it in silver. Get it out right now. Don't wait. Don't pass go. Get it out. And, you know, by the time.
Yeah, but it went up. It went up. I don't want to buy it now. It's going to go up. I should wait until it goes down. Should I wait till it goes down, Dad?
No, I told her that with her time horizon, she doesn't have anything to worry about. By the time she needs it, it will have gone up a lot. So I told her, don't worry about it. I said, look, I'll back you up if, you know, you're going to take any losses because of Dad's.
Yeah, I'll pay you for what you paid for. Don't worry about it. You know, my kids, when they wanted to get my sons, he wanted to, you know, upgrade his AR, you know, oh, I got converter, I need to get this, you know, whatever, whiz bang. So I'm going to sell some. So I go, yeah, to me. Then it goes up and I'm like, nah, 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 you know. So it's, and when you say the time horizon, you're talking about a young person later, it's going to be, gee, I remember when silver used to be double digits. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Right.
You're worried about, you know, from $13 to $25, like you're, you know, that's not even in the freaking, that don't mean nothing.
No, and, you know, she's full-time employed, and she's going to school full-time, and, you know, it's tough. But the thing is, she wants to be smart about it. She hasn't gone into any debt. You know, she listened to Dad, unlike what her friends did. They've gone into debt, you know, to go to school. And I said, look, if you can get out of college and not have any debt, you're going to be so far ahead of your friends. And so, you know, every 2 weeks I said, look, just buy more silver. You know, buy a, you know, what you can right now, get everything out of the bank, and then just every 2 weeks, buy it. And so that's what she agreed to do. And so, you know, we've got a plan. And I've tried to teach my daughters to be nimble, to not think of themselves as where they live, that defines them. And so, you know, I've tried to downscale, and we've moved 6 times in 4 years. Why?
That was my question.
Why? I'll tell you why. You have to get out of this mindset. You know, if you're upper middle class or middle class, you have to get out of the mindset that you are where you live, that somehow that, you know, has a status. You have to carry around who you are in your head. It doesn't matter where you live. You have to carry around yourself in your head and define yourself internally. And so I've tried to make them realize that you can live a good life and still cut back. Still cut it back to the bone.
So why are you moving so much? You just keep finding cheaper places to live?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's worked out. And the thing is, I want them to be nimble. I don't want them to be, you know, stuck into this mindset that you live one place, you know, and that's who you are. You have to carry, you know, this identity of yourself in your head.
Well, your wife she works for the man. I mean, she's a teacher. How is she dealing with this? Is she tired of hearing you always with the negative waves, man?
I really don't tell her that much because, you know, she can't handle it. But the thing is, you know, there are times when the real world intrudes on her life, you know, and she's looking at all the cuts that are possibly going to happen that already have happened. You know, the medical benefits have been cut back. We don't have dental anymore. We lost that last year, and they're going to be making further cuts, and the number of kids per classroom is going to be going up. And she doesn't want people to know where she works because it's a nice place and they have it cushier than other people in the district. So, you know, it is intruding in her world, and it doesn't make her happy, but there's nothing she can do about it. I don't go, nah, 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 I told you, you know, but she knows I've been right. And the thing is, you know, like her brother is an executive. He's been unemployed for 18 months. Can't find a job, you know, can't find a job.
Is this the guy that was in the oil industry?
No, this is the other brother. He worked for Dow, and he was a really top flight executive back in Michigan. There were no jobs in Michigan 4 years ago. He moved out here. He kept a job for about a year, lost it. He's been unemployed. He can't buy a job. And a friend of ours we've known for 14 years, she let us know on Facebook 2 nights ago, she lost both her jobs.
You know, I don't know if you were here, you came in late, but I was talking about conversation and we were talking to our kids about this stuff, and it's really starting to hit home with them because they have a lot of friends on Facebook and they went to a private school and it's all their friends. You know, we were the poor kids that they got to go on the yacht kind of thing, vacation in and, you know, that kind of deal. And we were good. They knew we were busy. We were activists. We're doing a lot of those years we had our restaurant. And we were very busy with that. I had the money or not. I didn't have the time to go do anything. And so we were really appreciative that our kids got to experience a lot of, you know, fun things. They got to do a lot of stuff. And I was asking about, well, how are these guys doing? Every single one that they know are going bankrupt. They've had to sell all their toys. They have not, because they invested in, because they were this Republican, Christian, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh said, and, you know, Kramer told me kind of stuff, and they got fleeced. I mean, to the tune of millions and millions of dollars. So I would tell my kids, I'm going, you see, this is your competition. Think about it. How self-sustaining are they going to be? You know, seriously, this one young woman, she, nice kids, you know, they just didn't know any better. She had a new beetle bug. You know, it was a cute little bug, and she didn't like it. Gets an Audi 4 or whatever it was, complained because she wanted white or black, not silver. Okay. This is kind of discussions that would happen. And now they can't make payments. They're moving in with each other. Extended families are coming. These are people walked around with expensive shoes and shiny ties. And are they prepared? Are they able to take this on? And I go, and I told them that. I said, you know, are they going to be able to survive? How are you in comparison to that? Where is the real value? It's like Jack says, it's in us. Free yourself. In your head. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jack Gregson, economic columnist for Freedoms Phoenix. Now, I remember you gave a presentation at Strategic Edge. It's a every other week morning breakfast club kind of thing. That what's his name? Pat Schwinn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Pat puts that on. It's on Thursday. And I remember hearing about it. It was a big deal. You came in. You said, let me tell you a story about Europe. And this was November. So that's what? I don't know.
18 months ago.
Not this last November? The one before that is when you did that?
November 2008.
Ooh, man, time flies. So 18 months ago, you said what, and where are we?
Basically, I laid out the fact that the banks over in Europe were over-leveraged. I want you to think of it like this, as like a teeter-totter, and you've got a really fat person on a short end of the teeter-totter, and you've got a really tiny person at the long end of the teeter-totter. So it was a leverage rates of 100 to 200 to 1, all right, for the banks over in Europe, specifically Swiss banks, French banks. I mean, they were seriously over-leveraged.
Define that. I hear that all the time. They're over-leveraged. What the heck does that mean?
Okay, basically, think of it this way. If you have a leverage rate of 200 to 1, you have $5 of reserve for $1,000 that you purchased. You purchased something for $1,000, but you only had $5. So you leveraged it 200 to 1.
Leveraged it how? Somebody had to loan them the money. Somebody had to give them the credit. Somebody had to. Where did that come from?
I'm not an accountant. I can't really tell you how they do it. It's basically the fractional reserve system gone wild.
You know, it's kind of like they're talking about silver and gold, and they come out and they go, hey, man, silver, it's leveraged 100 to 1. And I'm going, what the heck does that mean? It means that they're purchasing silver that's not really there. You know, I'm buying it, but it's not really there. So it totally screws up what the real pricing of anything is. So, I mean, we need to understand that more. But it's okay. So we have these guys have $1,000 in obligations and $5 in to pay off the obligation.
Right. That's basically what we have.
Okay. So you got your teeter-totter. You got a little guy out of the end out there and this big sumo wrestler sitting on the short end.
Yeah.
Okay, then what happens?
All right. Well, when it crashes, it's going to be really ugly. And that's what we've seen over there in Europe. People are panicked, Ernie. I mean, really panicked, because there is such a run on silver and gold that the Austrian banks don't have enough to mint. They can't mint. They had to stop because there is a run. People are scared to death.
How are they able to keep the prices down? I mean, it's shooting up, but that's nothing. No. I mean, this has got to go way, and it, you know, you hear me say this, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. People don't know, they go, what the heck are you talking about? I'm going, you know, it's obvious it's already happened. It's just all of a sudden you wake up and all of a, and gold's at 2000. It just happens like that. And they go, why? Why not? Do you even understand? Do you know why it hasn't happened? Do you know why it's going to happen? Do you understand? What are the fundamental economics of this? Why is there such a run on precious metals?
Because people are scared to death. Just think back in the 30s. I mean, when you had people over in Europe were scared because of hyperinflation. They wanted to get their money out of the mark, the Deutschmark. All right. And so they would put it into gold and silver or diamonds, whatever they could, to basically escape the hyperinflation over there. And that's how Hitler came to power. And so with the what they call the exchange traded funds, the ETFs, all right, they're selling 100 receipts for silver for every ounce of silver. And they're probably doing the same thing with gold. There is no gold in Fort Knox. And the thing is, they're manipulating it. Companies like J.P. Morgan Chase, specifically, Goldman Sachs, they're manipulating it on what they call the COMEX market back in New York. And the thing is, it's all starting to come to a head. In fact, they're being investigated by Andrew Cuomo, who is the attorney general in the state of New York right now.
Well, there was something on Freedom's Phoenix here. I'm looking, yeah, 2-for-1, auditing Fort Knox and the Fed. The American public is demanding for it, and they may be getting a 2-for-1 deal. An audit of the Federal Reserve will be conducted, specifically its dealings with financial institutions right before and after the financial crisis. Now, of course, we want, you know, longer term, too. That's what they're trying to do. Yeah. But, okay. We'll tell you what we did and what we did, like, yesterday, maybe tomorrow, but later you don't get to know because we know what we got to do. You know, that's what's really going on right now. And so we have, after the financial, the audit will also be conducted on Fort Knox. The audit is taking place in order to determine where money is going and seek some transparency about who received money from the Federal Reserve. And then we got a video there on Russian Times. So there's, you just stay tuned to Freedom's Phoenix and a lot of the stuff that, you know, Jack Gregson and my wife and me and the other 24 editors that we have putting stuff up, and you just kind of get a wide perspective. That's why I allow such a wide perspective. I mean, some people, they'll put up that, you know, I love Israel, I hate Israel. I love immigration, I hate immigration. But they give a different perspective and a lot of other stuff that we need to know about. Go check it out.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
We're building up for the big game. You know, what's coming? Oh, there's a lot of stuff that we need to know about. Jack's going to get us caught up a little bit. Let me tell you some of the things I want to make sure we know. One, you know, Freddie and Fannie needs to get examined a little bit more here. I mean, all of a sudden you have an enormous number of mortgages that were backed by Freddie and Fannie, and then all of a sudden they got nationalized. You know, now they're, you know who owns your house? Obama. There's going to be a welfare program. We're going to be handing out houses. I want you to vote for me. So this is tell me about Freddie and Fannie, where we are now, because we got the warnings from Jim Rogers back in 2005, and he's saying, look, man, they're done. Back when nobody even, they're like, what? Freddie, who's even that? I mean, he told me, he said, they stopped doing their quarterly reports. You know, they're in violation of law all over the place. They're insolvent. They're done, and they ain't even rolled over yet. You know, so there was a lot of people that knew this was coming. What happened, and where are they now?
Well, they went bankrupt in September of 2008, right before we had the crisis, and we had the subsequent bailout of Wall Street. And they were given a lifeline of about $200 billion, and they keep going back to the well. And they went back for, I think, about $14 to $18 billion just a couple days ago. And there was talk in the Senate about, oh, we've got to shut them down. We got to shut them down. So the Republicans wanted to shut them down. And the Democrats said, no, 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 no. We've got to have a study first about how we can wind Fannie and Freddie down. Fannie and Freddie are $5 trillion. They have 96% of the mortgage market. So they are the mortgage market. They are the housing market. And they're bankrupt. And they've been bankrupt.
Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah. But, you know, Obama's got to have his little trinkets that he can hand out to his followers. And so they're not going to let it go bankrupt completely. They're not going to let it go away. They've got to figure out what to do with that huge chunk of the mortgage market. So after the elections, they'll probably let it go bankrupt after January of 2011. And that'll go on the books of our national debt, $5 trillion. And here's the thing. We are going to reach the debt ceiling, the new debt ceiling, which they passed in January of 2010. We're going to reach that debt ceiling right before the midterm elections. We're going to probably reach it in October. So it's going to get really ugly and really interesting.
There's something, something's going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not comfortable with, you know... I don't believe what they're telling us. I mean, it's, you know, they just keep raising the debt ceiling like it was, you know, a little speed bump, you know? I mean, it's not even much of a bump. You know, it's like a painted bump.
Yeah, I think it's $14.3 trillion, and when you add Fannie and Freddie on top of that, you're talking $20 trillion right around January of 2011.
Who is holding this together? I don't understand how they're – there's nobody with any real money. I mean, I give you an example. I talked to, people that do this. I said, look, you know, ratings firms like Moody's and S&P and so on, they're going to be the scapegoat in this eventually because this was not allowed to happen unless you had AAA stamp put on a piece of paper in order for these pension fund managers to be able to purchase things. Well, I go, how do you rationalize? How do you, well, yeah, it's based on some number and algorithm that, you know, blah, 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 blah. I go, yeah, but it's all foundational on a philosophy that it doesn't have to have any real assets behind it. The asset was the perceived value of something with no real value. I mean, the entire philosophy of this Keynesian thing is just so much crap. That is why it was so obvious to libertarian, Austrian economic, free market individuals. It had to come to this. It was just shocking how long it took, and that all the more reason why it's going to be so big. But it had to come to this. And now we had the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, coming around. They created some kind of a monetary unit that they just want to go. That's why I keep saying, Marrow? They ain't all Marrow. They're going to go straight to the world-o. You know, there's some world-o thing coming.
Special drawing rights.
Well, tell me about it. What the heck is that?
Basically, the Bank of International Settlements, which you've hit upon many mm-hmm. times, and the IMF are setting up a system called special drawing rights, where basically it's a basket of currencies.
Is it special for me? Am I special enough to access this? I just want to know how special it is.
No,
is it special,
Ernie,
for their buddies?
Ernie, you're special, but you're special in a different way.
Yeah, I'm not that special. I'm the short bus special. Okay, go ahead.
So it would be a way of exchange on the international markets. Okay, it would be like a clearinghouse internationally, and it would be a super central bank, a world central bank.
Well, the Bank International Settlements, what the heck it is anyway.
Yeah, but this is just a way of controlling. I mean, that's the whole idea behind it.
All the power that they gave to the Fed, all the more stuff, the ability that they have to give money to other countries at the indebting of the next generation, they're going to have those kinds of things. Now they're talking about right today on Freedom's Phoenix, the European Union wants to control parliamentary budgets of these other member countries. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. The entire planet's going to go into meltdown, and there's going to be a savior. It's going to be the Bank International Settlements with the IMF over there waving a flag saying, We can save you. We have it. Just sign here. And that's what's going to happen. And you'll talk to people, like I talk to Mish, and you go, oh, no, the U.S. would never give up its sovereignty of its currency. And I'm going, why would you even say that? I mean, I know you're a big woo-hoo economist, and I go, but Mish, you know, why would you say that? I mean, I ask him, and I'm going, where do you get that from? Why would you say that? Under what evidence would you even say that?
That's why I don't post that many articles of his to Freedom's Phoenix, because there is a blind spot. He has a massive blind spot. Okay, he's not willing to open his mind up to, you know, what they're doing. He doesn't even think that this was done on purpose. And it's like, Mish, look at this. They did this on purpose. I could go down the list of all the things that they knew years ago concerning this issue. And every one of these people did this with their eyes wide open.
Well, he's a big deflation guy. He's saying things are going to, and he's right. I mean, he's been proven right. Prices in a lot of commodity, you know, housing, a lot of stuff is going down. But, you know, that's the actual inflation is not the prices. Inflation is the money supply. And they're trying to pull it in, they're putting it out. They're pulling it in, putting it out. When they pull it out of the system, it's just being held in some bank's vault waiting on the crash so that they can buy everything for nothing.
Right. Carlyle Group had a memo from the head of the company, the CEO, and this was in January, I believe, of 2007. And he said, we're coming up on a once-in-a-lifetime buying opportunity. We will be able to buy equities and properties for pennies on the dollar. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And who was the Carlyle Group connected to?
Bush.
Bush.
And their whole thing is they're going, we're going to be able to do this because we can, and we're going to help. We're going to, you know, kind of push this along. You guys are going to spend some money. Yeehaw!
And people say, oh, there couldn't be a conspiracy. Think of this. Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, and J.P. Morgan Chase, this last quarter, not one of them, of any of the four, had a loss for any given day. 61 trading days times four companies. That's 244 trading days between them. Not a single loss.
And you want to know where the stock market's going up? It's in the financials.
Right.
And they're doing it to future generations. And what's different this time is because of the ability to communicate with social networks and so on, the next generation knows they're being screwed in real time, and they feel absolutely no moral obligation to this. Because the only moral obligation you have to, you know, this patriotism, nationalism, country wrapping the flag thing is whatever perceived benefit or good or warm fuzzy you get from that. What if you get none? What if you see them as the aggressors? What if you see them as the thieves? What if you see them as the people violating individual rights? You know, we have on top of Freedom Phoenix right now libertarian activists that are out passing out fully informed jury information from a federal building. They arrest the guy with the video camera. Oh, it's against the law. You can't video camera out here. They didn't get the guy passing out, just the guy documenting it. So there you go. Call him. Go to freedomphoenix.com right now. Got a number. Call. Yeah, yo, what's up? Let our people go. Okay. So, you know, we get involved in this. You know, one thing, we got this YouTube that was sent to me. And I don't know, did you put it up, the Fort Knox thing? I think Donna might have. I'm going to go ahead and play this to you. It's a few minutes, but we'll talk about it because it's just give it a listen. You'll see what I mean.
Open up and say, the American public, the folks who demanded it, may be getting a two-for-one deal in this case. An audit of the Federal Reserve in its dealings with financial institutions right before and after the financial bulimia, and a look into Fort Knox. Here to talk about those two items of conversation, Mike Norman of the brokerage firm John Thomas Financial. Mr. Norman, let me go ahead, and I'm going to call it right now, give you some of the details about this audit, if we can go ahead and pull that up. I think what it was it has to be a comprehensive look. And I'm just waiting for the details to pop up here. It has to be a comprehensive look that is conducted on simply a one-time basis, first of all. The second thing is it can't interfere with authority to set monetary policy, which is the authority of the Federal Reserve. And then also, it has to focus on the lending that went on from December 2007.
Okay, now let's stop right there and talk about this. What are they saying? It's an audit proposal. This is what's going to send, because there's so much pressure from Campaign for Liberty and Ron Paul's bill and all this kind of stuff. This is the bone they're trying to throw and, you know, get the dog off their ankle. All right. They're going, we're going to conduct one time. Everybody get all your paperwork ready and get, you know, everybody, you know, straighten your tie, get set up. It's all, you know, put on. This, we're going to have a dog and pony show. Okay. So we're going to do a one time audit of what? Well, you know, we got to have some conditions first. What's the first condition? It will not interfere with the authority to set monetary policy. And I remember Bernanke saying that in committee to Dr. Paul, and he goes, that is everything. That right there, that is everything. The fact that the Fed has the ability to set monetary policy, of course you don't want anybody to be able to challenge that. That's where you're screwing everybody. Oh, they go, now we're going to show you how much we screwed you. Now, we'll show you how much we screwed you, okay? No Vaseline, screwed you, all right? But you can't stop us from doing it again. Just FYI. Okay. And we're going to focus on the lending from December 2007. What are we going to learn from that? Well, I don't know, but is that it? I mean, they haven't been screwing us later, you know? So, let's go ahead and keep listening.
And then I believe, from what I read, the results have to be posted by December 1st. So those are the parameters of this audit as proposed by the Democrats and also pushed by the Obama administration. Now,
pushed by the Obama administration? I'm all warm and fuzzy already. December 1st is when they got to do it. Well, you know, they extend deadline. I don't care about that. But what they do have is that, when is it? It's definitely after the election. I guarantee you that. You know, this is it, and I just picked this apart, man.
I've bored you with the details, and I apologize for that. But do you feel as if this audit is going to be effective as a result of listening to these parameters?
Well, it'll be effective in the following sense. And let's understand, it was completely politically motivated. And as you mentioned, it's a one-time audit. And it's really, the goal of the audit is to seek some transparency in who the Fed actually lent to, what institutions under its emergency lending powers, who actually received money. Now, we know in the Federal Reserve Act, Section 13, Article 3, the Fed has the power to lend to whomever it wants. It's specifically stated in the Federal Reserve Act. I think what Congress is after and what the American people want to know is who actually got money. I mean, we know that the normal arrangement of the Fed system is that commercial banks always have access to the Fed. That's the arrangement. But the question is, who else got money? Was it investment banks? Was it hedge funds? We want to see exactly who the Fed lent to. And again, this is totally within the statutes. The Fed has the ability to lend even to an individual if it deems that it's necessary.
Oh, the power, the power, the power. See, these powers kept getting put. What does that say? We can lend money to whoever we want, to whomever we want, even individuals. Warren Buffett, you know, feeling kind of peaked there, Holmes. You know, we can help you out. This is bad. And this is what's coming out. So, and Dr. Paul, smart guy, he knew what was going on. He's going, hey, man, I just want to know. And the bill didn't even address monetary policy. He made a big deal. He goes, it doesn't address that. That's not even my question. I just want to know what you did. I just want everybody to know what you did and what you're continuing to do. Now, part of this also is, I'm sure it goes on, that they're going to audit the gold in Fort Knox. And you're going to drill it like China does? Hey, what's that? Is that tungsten? You know, under the 16th inch of gold? You know, so this is going to get, will it ever, is it like 9-11 or JFK investigation or whatever? Yeah, the Challenger and the Columbia investigations were $150-something million. You had the Monica Lewinsky investigation, $30 million. You have 9-11, $15 million. Wow. They're really good at this covering up thing. And I'm going, will they cover up this? You know, of course they will, if they can. But what they can't cover up is the math and how it affects you. They can do all the stuff when it's based on faith in the system. What happens when you lose all your faith in paper? It comes crashing down. Will you be protected? got chickens.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, satisfy me here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jack Gregson in studio talking about the econom. You? It's not the econom-my. I don't have any. But, you know, they're going to try and seal this over with a light little kiss on the cheek and say we're gonna audit them. Yeah, okay, so we gave a bunch of money to these guys. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? You know, who really runs the planet now, Jack?
Rahm Emanuel.
Oh.
He's the puppet master for Obama. The day that Obama announced that Rahm Emanuel was going to be his chief of staff, I just said, okay, Obama's a fraud. You know,
there's one thing. Lately, all of your postings that you put on Freedom's Phoenix, you find an excuse of some way to put Obama up there and, you know, slapping him and his pimped out whatever. Man, what is your thing with Obama and the economy?
Okay, my nickname is Switchblade. And the thing is, I really resent when somebody tries to make me look stupid. They've tried to make me look stupid for 15 months by saying that the economy was turning around. Every piece of propaganda that they put out on the lamestream media saying that it's turning around, housing is turning around, the economy is turning around, unemployment's turning around, every piece of that is trying to make me look stupid. I take it personal. And I have been predicting this for years because I knew what their plan was, just like Catherine Austin Fitz, okay, former member of the Bush administration. When you try and make me look stupid to my family and friends and basically say that I was wrong and I know that I was right, I'm going to take it personal and I'm going to attack you. I'm going to bury the knife in you as deep as I can go. This is a personal vendetta that I have against these people. They are propagandizing the American people. They are lying to them. Every word out of their mouth is a lie. And I'm being proven right every day now. But I really resented it. And I still resent it. I'll resent it until the day he's impeached.
I speak at a lot of the Tea Parties. And they keep diminishing in number and influence. And that was kind of the attempt. You know, you have these Republican politicals will come in. Yeah, we're having a Tea Party. Come on in. Oh, we're combining the Tea Party. We're going to be a big Tea Party. We got all kinds of Tea Party. And then they bring in divisive issues. They'll go, oh, birth certificate. Oh, immigration. Oh, drug war. We got to be, you know, keep the drug war going. Oh, the war. I mean, they need to call out, you know, the real passion that was economics. And it's a Republican-Democrat thing. And I'm just going, I saw this happening. And it's amazing that I get invited to speak at these things. And the one thing that I wanted to make sure that everybody understands, this entire generation, which usually is older people, is that they've been lied to. You know, get over it. You're being lied to even more. And it's the R's and D's doing it at the same time. Even while they criticize each other, it's with lies.
It's both parties.
They're the same. I said, you know, I don't have enough energy to hate Obama. I don't even, you're so focused on, I'm going, he's just a figurehead. It's like looking down a train track, man. There's just one after another. I'm just getting off the track. Let the train go, man. Yeah, I don't want, you know, everybody's libertarian. We got to take advantage of this third party. This thing that's coming, everybody's going to support. We want our chance at the wheelhouse on the Titanic. You know, we're in charge now as it goes down. I'm like, are you kidding me? A little lifeboat over there. Get on. While the Titanic goes down, you don't mind if I key it a little bit just for grins and giggles. You know, quit trying to save the ship of state. I want to save the people. Screw the ship. We'll see you tomorrow.